Alcova Mortgage is here for good. We are locally owned, value great communication, and are committed to our Covington community. Call Alcova Mortgage Covington at 540-962-7152 or visit alcovahighlands.com to get in touch for your mortgage lending needs.
Alcova Mortgage, NMLS ID 40508, NMLS consumeraccess.org, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply. All loans subject to credit approval.
What up, though? Ball Hawk Show.
If you know, you know. If you know, you know. Brick layers and ball shorts, coaching from the side of the ball court. If you know, you know. One stop like a Walmart. We got the tennis balls for the wrong sport. If you know, you know. If you know about the carport, them trap doors supposed to be awkward. If you know, you know. That's the reason we ball for. Circle round twice for the encore. If you know, you know.
What up, 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 though? Welcome to the Ball Hawk Show podcast. I'm your host, Amon Hawkins. Appreciate you taking time out today to listen to the latest episode of the show. This is episode 999, almost at 1,000. And I look, it could be more, but this is the 1,000 that I track because people say, hey, man, is it really 1,000? I'm like, it could probably be more because I'll transition from Podbean to Blog Talk Radio to Anchor. Now I'm a part of the Believe Network. So, and I got a lot of like SD cards and stuff with every episode I've done. So this is just my estimation of where I think I'm at. It could be more, but hey, the journey continues. We still trying to elevate, still trying to get better. Salute to Believe Network for, you know, providing me this opportunity to be on, take advantage of their platform, you know? So that's what we're doing, man. We're recapping UVA's road loss to Syracuse on Friday. Over the years, I've learned to give myself like 24 to 36 hours before I talk about the game so I can have my real analytical hat on and really give you in-depth information of what took place. And I do the same with fans as well. Like, I've gotten better. And if you've been around me, you can at least give me credit. I've gotten better with how I interact with fans post game. Cause at first I was a savage. I was no nonsense. Like, yo, you being too negative. You don't know what we put, the blood, sweat, and tears we putting in. Don't be saying that. Don't be saying this. But then it's like, yo, Amon, they care. And when people care about things, they're going to vent. You got to provide that safe space. So I've gotten better with that. So what I usually do is after games, man, I read every article I can about the game. I go on various message boards and I check the pulse of the fan base and see if it's a common theme, a common issue, common statements that's being made. And that helps me in how I approach recaps because I like to answer those questions without having to point out with username so-and-so said this and username so it's because a lot of people want to be anonymous. And you guys also do a good job of going to AmonHawkins.com using the contact us feature. And you actually ask me questions through email on what did I see during games or you voice your concerns. So I appreciate that because I want to make sure that questions are being answered that you may not be able to get at another place. So I like to be that podcast outlet in a sense. So appreciate y'all for that, man. Salute to the sponsors. Abra Insurance. Go to Abra Insurance for all your insurance needs. That's home, business, auto, life insurance. They're great people at Abra. Servicing the state of Virginia for over 20 years. They have a office right here off Ryle Road in Charlottesville. They also have offices in Richmond. And they're not only available in Virginia. So check out their site, man. They branching out. So salute to Billy and Charlene White. Also, if you're looking to refinance, man, you need a loan, please use this website, AlcovaHighlands.com. That's AlcovaHighlands.com to get in contact with an individual at Alcova Mortgage so you can get a loan and you can free up some ends for you, because believe it or not, we're getting close to Thanksgiving and Christmas just like that. So those are the two proud sponsors of the Ball Hawk Show. If you want to be a proud sponsor, hit me up. Just use the contact us box at AmonHawkins.com. Or if you want to just provide a monthly donation, go to anchor.fm. Search the Ball Hawk Show podcast. They got a support button. And you could just, you know, 99 cents, $5.99. I mean, not $4.99, $9.99. I appreciate everybody's. But what? Hold on, time out. So Petty Hawk is telling me that I'm tapping into his DJ time to get everybody's mind right for this recap. Because he said, we got to get our mind right because we 2-2 and we just lost another road game. And he said he got something special for me. He said I would enjoy this playlist that he got. I don't like how he's singling me out. And people are like, who are you talking to? So Petty Hawk used to have he used to talk. This was like 2019. He would talk, but I decided not let him talk outwardly because he would say some things that I would have to just cut. Like, for instance, right? I just did it before so this is the second time I recorded this episode because I got like 25 minutes in and I let Petty Hawk talk and I realized the record button wasn't pushed. So we wasn't recording. So the man upstairs be letting us know, like, you may not want to let him talk because we wasn't even recording. So this is actually the second take. A lot of times I don't do takes. Like, what you hear is what I did the first time. Even if I mess up, you're going to hear me say, oh, that was wrong. Because I like to show my imperfections. I'm far from perfect. So, yeah, Petty Hawk is definitely getting mad at me because he's saying, yo, it's my time to shine. So let's see what Petty Hawk got in store for us today. Go ahead, DJ Petty Hawk on the ones and twos. Sit back, relax, chill out. About 2-3 minutes of some good music. I don't know what he's going to play, but get your mind right. Let's go.
Something for my godson Elijah and a little girl named Corinne.
Oh, you playing that Tupac, Petty Hawk?
The sweet of the juice, I say the dark of the flesh.
Oh, you trying to get on my good side today.
I give a holler to my sister's own welfare. Tupac kids, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. And when you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. But please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive, but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe. And if you can't learn to love, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to gash up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? That when brothers make babies and leave a young mother to be a pastor. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women. Real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies that make the babies. And since a man can't make one, he has no right
okay,
to tell.
Okay, Petty Hawk, I see you. What you mean? You ain't. Oh, so you weren't done? Oh, you got another song? All right, let's. You. So play this one too? Okay, I got you.
I guess change is good for
you. Oh, so you and your Tupac bag for me, huh?
For any of y'all to get up out there.
Oh, okay, my bad. I'm with you. I'm gonna be quiet.
I ain't mad at you.
Here we go.
Love for you.
He playing more Tupac.
Yeah.
All the homies that I ain't talked to, well, I'ma send this one out for y'all.
Petty Hawk, who are you mad at though? What, like, why are you playing I Ain't Mad At You? Who are you mad at? Are you saying that we not mad at them? Or what are you trying to say, Petty? Okay, my bad.
Cause I ain't mad at you. Now we was once two ends of the same kind. Quick to holler at a hoochie with the same line. You was just a little smaller, but you still roll. Got stressed to YA and hit the hood swole. Remember when you had a Jerry curl, didn't quite.
Hold on, Petty Hawk. I think I know what you doing. Okay, I'm gonna be quiet.
Collect calls to the tilt, saying how you changed. Oh, you a Muslim now, no more dope game. Heard you might be coming home, just got bail. Wanna go to the mosque, don't wanna chase tail. It seems I lost my little homie, he's a changed man. Hit the pen and now no sinning is the game plan.
When I talk about money, all you see is the struggle. When I tell you I'm living large, you tell me it's trouble. Congratulations on the wedding. I hope your wife knows she gotta play it for life, and that's no issue. I know we grew apart, you probably don't remember. I used to feed for your sister, but now I'm in for him. And I can see us after school, we bomb on the first one. Up for thumbs with the bomb, but it's on. Now the whole issue changed, and we don't even kick it. Got a big money scheme, and you ain't even with it. Knew in my heart you was the same. Up for thumbs are bad. Go toe to toe when it's time for gold, you gotta front us back. And I can't even trip, cause I'm just laughing at you. You're trying hard to maintain, then go ahead, cause I ain't mad at you.
Oh, come on, everybody sing it, let's go. Hey,
I ain't mad at you.
Let's go, come on.
I ain't mad at you.
Oh, my bad. You got one more song? All right, man. He got one more. Yo, Petty Hawk, come on, man. I see what you're doing. You not slick. It's the same thing you did with the last recap, playing the Atomic Dogs and where my dog's at. You not slick. And I'm gonna ask you why you playing this type of theme song. Okay? You got one more. All right. Okay.
But through whatever you see, through all the rain and the pain, you got to keep your sense of humor. You got to be able to smile through all this pain.
Oh, you done went in your bag, Petty Hawk. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, keep your head up.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go. Oh, this is my jam right here.
Our lifestyles be closed captioned, addicted to fake attractions. Pictures of actions be played back
in the midst of magic, no fairy tales.
For this young black male, some see me stranded in this land of hell, jail, and sales, hustling and hardly think of culture. Or the repercussions while busting on backstabbing vultures, selling my soul for material wishes,
fast cars and.
Wishing I live my life a legend, immortalized the biggest. Watch that tears, say your sympathy. My childhood years were spent burying my peers in the cemetery. Here's a message to the.
I don't know if y'all listen to what Tupac is saying, but these lyrics bring chills to my, like, I get emotional when I hear what he's saying in that verse right there. Like, all right, let me keep going. All right, I'm gonna finish this. Petty Hawk, you wrong for playing this song, because you know how I get with this song, bro. Like, what he's saying hits home to me.
Newborns waiting to breathe. If you believe, then you can achieve.
Just look at me against all odds.
So life is hard, living in the projects,
broke with no lights on.
To all the seeds that follow me, protect your essence. Born with less, but they still precious.
Just smile for me now.
You gotta smile.
Smile for me now.
Smile. You could be anything.
Smile
for me now.
You ain't got nothing to be worried about.
You got nothing to be worried about.
Smile for me now.
All right. I get it, Petty Hawk. I get it. I know why you played that. Y'all want to know why Petty Hawk played those songs? Because Petty Hawk's... Can I share with them, Petty Hawk? I know they can't hear you. I don't allow them to hear you anymore, so they think I'm crazy and talking to myself right now. So Petty Hawk can identify with the pulse of some of the fan base with Brendan Armstrong. And that was Petty Hawk's way of speaking to Brendan, like, keep your head up, I ain't mad at you, and just smile. Like, relax. We understand. It's some changes going through. You're going through a storm. It's going to get better, bruh. You that guy. Petty Hawk was speaking to Brendan Armstrong. I'm going to be honest with y'all. He saw comments and people like saying, yo, what's going on? We need to bench him. Put in this guy. We ain't beating around the bush. We seen it. It happens. So, BA, if you listen to this, Petty Hawk, he's supporting you, man. That's why he played Tupac songs speaking to you. You know, keep your head up. I ain't mad at you. And smile. So that's why he played those songs. So let's jump right into the game, shall we? First off, we're going to start out with stats like we always do about this time. Attendance for the Syracuse versus Virginia game, where Syracuse won 22-0. We started this segment of stats at, I'm going to say 15 minutes, 2-1, at the 15-minute mark timestamp. If you came right here, we're going over the stats. The attendance for this game was 34,590 people. It sounded like it was 70,000 people in the JMA Wireless Dome. I felt at home. Boy, that felt like an arena football game. I ain't going to lie to you. Why? Because arena football, we played in basketball arenas, and, I mean, it's loud. For just to be 34,000 people, the fact that you in the dome, and they might play through the speakers too, I don't know. But, man, when I tell you it was shaking in there, good gracious. So they start off the season 4-0, 2-0 in the ACC. We are now 2-2, 0-1 in the ACC. They were calling us all types of losers and putting up the fours when we was losing. I mean, like walking off the field. Salute to the Cuse fans. I know you're excited. Y'all got picked to be last in the ACC. You're now unbeaten. Salute to y'all, man. Now let's go with the team stats because I went over the score, 22-20. Let's look at the team stats. First down, Syracuse had 21 first downs to UVA's 17. Net rushing yards, drum roll, UVA had 149 yards rushing. Syracuse had 75. This is two straight games in which the Cavalier defense has held a team to under 100 yards rushing. This is after the first two games in which it was a lot of worry because you gave up 170, and I think you gave up like 199. To Illinois. Anyway, since those first two games, 89 and 75 yards respectively on the ground that the Cavalier defense has yielded. And this, they went up against a first team All-American running back. So, good job. Net yards passing. Dr. Bob's air raid offense had 277 yards passing. We had, with Brennan Armstrong as our quarterback and the receivers we had, 138 yards passing. We attempted five more passes than them. We threw the ball 38 times. They threw the ball 33 times. They ran the ball 38 times. They actually ran the ball more than they passed the ball. They had 38 rush attempts to 33 pass attempts. We had 29 rushing attempts to 38 passing attempts. They averaged 12.6 yards per completion. We averaged 7.3 yards per completion. We had one passing touchdown. They had zero. Total offensive yards. They had 352 yards of total offense. We had 287 yards of total offense. They ran 71 offensive plays. We ran 67 offensive plays. Oh, and we averaged 5.1 yards a rush, and we limited them to 2 yards rushing. Two yards rushing per attempt. Well, the stats. Time of possession, they had the ball for 34 minutes and 50 seconds. We had the ball 25 minutes and 10 seconds. The fourth quarter they had the second and fourth quarter they had the ball over 9 minutes. Third down conversions, we were 3 of 12. They were 5 of 15. We got to get better on third down conversions. We was 3 of 12 this game. Well, what was we, 1 of 13? So on the road, we are 4 of 25. On third down, I believe. Because I think it was 1-13 versus Illinois. So on the road, we are 4 of 25 on third down on the road. Over 3 on field goals this game, they were 4 of 5. That was the difference. And I'm gonna get it to it soon. We had 6 sacks, they had 4 sacks. So let's go defensive individuals first. Jonas Saker and Nick Jackson both had 10 tackles. Nick Jackson had his 10 tackles in 3 quarters because He got ejected for targeting, which by the letter of the law, it was definitely targeting, but they need to really upgrade the rule, because once a defensive person launches themselves and the runner changes levels, it's a little different. And I can understand, like, hitting a receiver that's catching the ball and your helmet hitting the crown of their face mask, but a ball carrier, I think it's different. Like, with Nick Jackson's situation, the quarterback was a runner. He was running, and he changed his level, so Nick kept his head up, but the crown of his helmet hit the face mask of the quarterback. It's a little different to me than when Keaton got hit by the safety, because it was a bang bang, but that's the defenseless receiver type of stance, because he just caught the ball. And even then, to me, the safety kept his head up. He put his face in the chest of Keaton. But Keaton didn't change his level. He remained the same level. With Nick's situation, and even if Brennan would have got hit the same way, I'd be feeling the same. So it's not me just, you know, like Nick's my guy, and then he's on our team, and I ain't got no rose, orange, you know, no orange color shades. Like, I just feel like you got to update the rule, and always take into the fact that you can throw a 15-yard penalty, but I feel like you should give a college kid two opportunities, like two personal fouls, two targetings. Like, I feel like you get the 15-yard penalty, and that's your first unsportsmanlike conduct. Because, you know, you can only get you get two, you out. So it was almost like the technical. For this one, you could stay in. If we feel like it was malicious and you really dropped your head down, then you got to go. But if you kept your face up and the change in the level caused your crown of your helmet to hit the face mask of the runner, then you know what I'm saying? I feel like it should be some discretion is what I'm saying. So 10 tackles apiece for them. Nick Jackson also had a sack. He also had a tackle for loss. Jonas Saker also had an interception, and he had a fumble recovery. So Jonas Saker had 10 tackles, one interception, and one fumble recovery. Darius Bratton had 9 tackles. Lex Long had 8 tackles, one forced fumble. Jameer Carter had 6 tackles, 1 tackle for a loss, the juggernaut. James Jackson, coming off the bench, had 6 tackles. He played very well this game. James, you played very well this game. I know people got after you after the first game. I felt like filling in for Ahern, where situation took place. I felt like you really came in and you were locked in. You were better prepared. You understood the speed of the game. Like, you played well, bro. AJ, my man Gucci, had 5 tackles, 1 pass breakup. Chico Bennett had 4 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackle for loss, 1 fumble recovery. Chico coming into his own, man. I'm telling you, Chico to me, and this is like both our ends actually, because Cam balling too. But one thing about Chico that I like, his motor, his ability to understand. So a lot of teams run inside zone, right? The zone reads. And in years past, when teams ran the zone read versus us, our backside end that was unblocked could never run down the running back, right? If the quarterback gave to the back, that end that has quarterback never ran down running backs. Chico does a good job of staying square and just scraping the line of scrimmage and going to get the back, not allowing the cutback. Like, Chico be hunting. He be hunting, man. Salute. 2 sacks for Chico. Fentrell had 3 tackles, 3 pass breakup. As much as we ragged on the DBs last year, 2-3, technique, confidence, ball awareness, kids playing very well this year. Cypress is playing well. If we're going to give people that heat and put the flame on them when they playing like trash can juice, you got to be that same G and give them their flowers when they playing well. That boy playing well, man. Cam Butler, Mr. I'll make you jump off sides. Like, Cam influences a false start by a tackle, seemed like every game. He had 2 tackles, tackle for a loss, a hell of a 5 forced fumble early in the game in which we – was it early in the game? Yeah, early in the game in which we needed. Horton had 2 tackles, and a forced fumble. That's Mr. Kickoff Man himself. If we get a touchback, watch 93 when he run down on kickoff. He be pissed off when the returner don't bring it out. And he showed y'all why them returners need to keep it in the end zone, because he punished little buddy. Aaron Famui, two tackles, a sack, a tackle for a loss. Salute to my man Aaron Famui. Hawaii, my guy, came on a walkthrough. If you haven't checked that episode out, go check it out. I got it on my webpage, AmadHawkins.com, if you want to locate it. Elijah Gaines and Derek Devine both had a tackle. Paul AK, I call him AK, he had a sack, tackle for a loss. Smiley had a tackle and a tackle for a loss. Cross had a tackle. Gaffney had a tackle. Josh Ahern had a tackle. And my man Donovan Johnson had the fumble recovery. So those are the defensive individual stats right there. We go to offensive stats. Paris Jones, 87 yards rushing on 13 carries, average 6.7 yards a carry. Paris made a lot of individual runs that I was very impressed with. Like, it's a hat on hat. Syracuse backers did a good job of their run fits, and it was seemingly nothing there, and he would bounce it, and it could be a safety just waiting on him in Paris to do that Peter Ward pressure stuff and just get inside the safety and burst up the field, man. So his vision was on 100 this game. So salute to Paris for his ability to run hard and make, you know, minimal gain into a very moderate gain. Because I felt like our lineman did a good job of hat on hat in that second half. And we're going to go over offensively, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of half that we have. Brendan Armstrong, he was credited for 11 rushes for 29 yards. He had 46 gains, 17 loss, so he ended up with 29 yards. Mike Hollins had two carries for 22 yards. Keaton had two carries for 10 yards and a touchdown. Xavier Brown had one carry for 1 yard. They only gave X-Man one carry. It looked like he rushed it a little bit, but that's the thing about us, man. We got some backs who could definitely get the job done. It just depends on pass pro and who has the matchup and things like that. Because I know fans are like, man, Xavier only got one touch. What's going on? But you could tell the game plan, we were trying to get Syracuse DBs out in space and a tackle one-on-one. And again, I'll get into that once I get through these stats. Their All-American running back, Sean Tucker, only had 60 yards on 21 carries. 60 yards on 21 carries. Man. A round of applause for the defensive line, the front seven, and also the safeties filling in those A and B gaps. This was probably one of the most impressive run fit performances that I've seen out of the UVA defense in a long, since the Duke game last year when we played Duke and they had Durant. And I would, that was a rainy day, but their ability to strike with their hands, hold the point, and for everybody to play off of each other versus this dynamic back and in an air raid where it's spread out and it's a lot of ground you got to cover and got to be disciplined. And that dude, slippery when wet, to hold him to 60 yards on 21 carries, averaging 2.9 yards per carry, that's phenomenal. We lost, but damn it, that's phenomenal. I'm pointing that out. We're not going to do that. I know we want to win, but we were still praising our offense last year when it was having over 500 yards. We were still in awe. Like, man, did you see that second quarter? We're going to do the same thing for the, like, Coach Rudd. I don't know what you did from the first two games of this game and Coach Downing and Coach Slade and Coach Centum, but y'all keep doing what you're doing, bro. Build on this. I was highly impressed, like real talk. Passing yards, we said Brendan Armstrong only had 138 yards on 38 damn pass attempts. He had 138 yards. That ain't good. Not for him. For him. That guy who could give you 400 easy? Never thought I'd see the day he throw 38 passes. So on the road, Brendan Armstrong is averaging 100 yards passing. Because versus Illinois, I think he had 100 yards passing. At least he got a touchdown pass now. But on the road, this man averaging about 150 yards passing. Brendan Armstrong. Yikes. That's a yikes. What? Keaton Thompson was targeted 14 times, had 8 catches for 55 yards. Wicks was targeted 10 times, had 5 catches, 45 yards. Grant was targeted 3 times, had 2 catches, 18 yards. Mike was targeted 3 times, 2 catches, 15 yards. Lavelle targeted 4 times, 1 catch, 4 yards, and a touchdown. PJ2 was targeted 2 times, had 1 catch. And Ethan Davies was targeted 1 time. Salute to Ethan. Keaton had 32 yards after the catch. Wicks had 25 yards after the catch. Grant had 14 yards after the catch. Mike had 14 yards after the catch. Aronde Gatson in the second. Y'all know the Aronde Gatson played for Miami. Had 107 yards on 7 catches. That was all in the first half. Schrader, their quarterback, 277 yards, 1 interception on 33 pass attempts. He was sacked 6 times, as I stated. Brendan was sacked 4 times. Starlin had 101 kickoff return yards. Yo, Starlin, you one man away from breaking, brother. One man. I like that you run so violent. You give me the Joe Reed vibes. How you hit it. I like how you hit it. Full speed. And when I tell y'all that kid got some top-end speed that's crazy, I hope he get that opportunity to show y'all. He can fly. So he's going to put stress on kickoff teams. He could get us – I mean, he gets us – those 30-yard returns when we definitely need it so we won't be backed up. So I like that D'Amique's back there. And people always ask me, like, why he not returning punts. I always say, man, I'd rather you have somebody that's short-handed and just get the possession. We at the point right now, bro, where we just got to get the possession. Like, it's levels to this. So with that being said, who should I do first, offense or defense? We're going to do offense again, man. We're going to talk about offense, all right? So I'm trying to do a time stamp. That's why. So 33-minute mark, boom. Here we are. Welcome to the offensive breakdown, this recap. So I charted all – it was over 70 plays because you got penalties on the film. I charted every play. So I'm not going to go through every play, but I will say – this, if you heard my interviews with Tony Elliott on Virginia Sports Network, I just had a brain fart. Like, my brain just went like totally blank right now. But he talked about, like, coming out of halftime, how, you know, stay the course, right? Continue to work your technique. Don't resort back to old habits. If they just trust the system, trust it. Because a lot of times, man, in anything, right? Like whether it's your parents telling you something, whether it's like a diet, whether it's like a workout plan, like you feel like if you don't see immediate results, you feel like you're doing something wrong. You know what I'm saying? So the same thing applies in sports when you're working on a different technique. Or you got a different scheme. Like, if you don't see that immediate success, you feel like it's a failure. And it's like a tale of two worlds, like offensively and defense. Like, defense, no disrespect to Nick and Coach Bronco and them. We're just being transparent. Defense last year, the past 2 years, was trash can juice. No disrespect to anybody that played on the defense. But overall, like, numbers wise and stat wise and ranking wise, like, is in the trash can juice realm. You know what I'm saying? So when you bring in a new defensive staff and you're not in the trash can juice realm and you improve, you're going to buy in because you see improvement, correct? So here's where we at with the offense. From a fan's perspective, when you look at our offense, you're going to say rushing offense, definitely better. We can run the football because the numbers back it up, correct? So you feel like that the technique and everything that's being communicated to you, you can trust the process because you are seeing results, like immediate results. But if you look at the outside parts, meaning the receivers and the quarterback, you like, what's going on? This ain't it. Because the numbers show, it makes it appear that this is not working. But it's so many moving parts when it comes to passing the football that the easiest thing for the common fan to look at is numbers, because that's what's provided to you. Unless you know the call in the huddle, unless you know the reads, unless you know the coverage, all you can rely on is a result. So a lot, that's why people love stats, because that's the one thing that we can definitely look and hold on to is stats, because we don't know what's being called. We don't know if it was a check. I don't know the front. I don't know what the linebacker did. I don't know if the receiver was supposed to go 10 and he went 7 yards. I don't know if it's cover two, cover three. Like, a fan's not going to know all that because they're not privy to end zone copies and sideline copies and being a rewind. Like, TV copy gives you the ball. Majority of the time, we look at who has the ball. So when the quarterback drops back, we may glance at the receiver initially, but we're going to look at the ball. Everybody pays attention to the ball. And then when the ball is thrown, we're going to follow the ball to whichever receiver he's throwing to. And majority of the time, after the ball is thrown, we might glance at the other receivers and we might, ooh, so-and-so is wide open, because the person that's covering them is converging to the ball. So you start to get that view of BA of saying, it looks like BA just locking in. Because I've been seeing fans like, man, is BA just locking in the one receiver? Is he not reading the field correctly? And I can't 100% agree with you. I can't 100% disagree with you, because I don't know what Coach Kitchens and Coach Elliott is telling him as far as his progression. You know, if his man, check out this route concept. If his zone, check this side out. If they playing off, you got the ability to sight adjust this. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know all of that. So I'm saying all that to say this. When I break down what took place, I'm not saying it matter of fact. I'm giving you my educated opinion. That's it. And it could differ from yours. And at the end of the day, guess what? We both could be right, because we're just saying hypothetically, he should have did this. So I'm just putting that caveat out there, because I know when folks hear things, they say, oh, Ballhawk said this. I'm giving you my educated opinion based off watching the film and charting it and writing down notes. So let's get right to it. First thing I noticed about BA this year compared to last year. Last year, his footwork, his mechanics were a lot better. And there's a lot of things that could play into that. First, time. We know the offensive line is young, so the time that he has in the pocket is different. He played in the air raid. It's wide open. If you didn't see the Syracuse quarterback, Schrader, the air raid allows you to, like, hit reads right now because it's spread out. Some people call it a gimmick offense. Right? It puts a lot of stress on safeties. Because when I give you the defensive breakdown, I'm going to tell you how Dr. Bob actually let us off the hook, because he was Dr. Bob. You know how he do things. But so in this scheme, a pro-style scheme, a scheme that would benefit BA in the long run if he can master it because it adds more tools to his toolbox. It's no different than somebody who don't like to play D coming to Tony Bennett's basketball team, and now he has to play defense. And now he has to work within the block removal scheme when he was just 1-4 flat, freestyling, crossing you up. So for all my basketball fans who love our basketball team, that's like if a high 5-star recruit who you see all these videos that could cross people up and go 1-on-1 and they come play at UVA right now. We know good and damn well he ain't going to be 1-on-1 nobody in that block remover that Bennett runs. He got to run through the scheme. And the scheme is successful because he's won a national championship. So we're going to say, hey, man, that dude better get in where he fit in because Tony has demonstrated that he can win, Tony Bennett. And I feel like BA's in this situation within this scheme, right? It's just one of the things that we've seen other quarterbacks successful. And look, I don't know if this... So Coach Kitchen is the offensive coordinator. This offense doesn't like the same offense that was running. It got some of the same principles, but Coach Elliott is going to allow Coach Kitchens to run his scheme. This is not 100% Tony Elliott's scheme from Clemson. This might be a marriage. I see some resemblance of things that Clemson ran, but I see things that Coach Kitchens, when he calls plays, you're going to go to your muscle memory. It's no different than a player going back to their muscle memory and trusting the scheme, trusting the system. So here's my thing with BA that I'm seeing. This offense is more confined. It's asking him to be decisive, right? It's not going to be a lot of open alleys for him to just take off and improvise. It's just not. Now, with that being said, receivers as well, it's taking a toll on them, because if you look at how Wicks ran his routes last year, how Keaton ran his routes last year, they had a lot more what we call wiggle room, ability to stem, set you up, kind of burst, change speeds. I don't feel like this scheme allows them to do that because it's time-based. And also, let's factor in the guys up front aren't going to allow you to do all that in your routes, respectfully, because they're still getting better by games. More reps, more playing time. They're becoming more comfortable. So that's why you see pass pro may break down early versus late, because Coach 2J shows an adjustment, get them to relax. You get used to the game speed. You get used to what you're seeing as far as your opponent. Is he going to run the hoop? Is he going to try to spin and come underneath? Are you going to run a lot of games, a lot of twists? So that's why the pass pro starts to become better as the game progresses, because you start to see the tendencies of the defense. So with that being said, again, I know it's a lot of information I just told y'all. Let's get back to BA. That's a lot that's changing. So you go from a dude, and I'm going to keep talking in basketball terms, because I know y'all love basketball. And y'all pay attention, because our basketball is up there. You got a dude who's running a 1-4 flat, a.k.a. the air raid, now running in the block removal, structured pass, go down, run around the screen, catching rhythm. If you don't got it, move the ball again. So this is game 4. So, yes, he's still struggling. In the perfect world, we would think he wouldn't struggle, right? Because he's BA. He's Brennan Armstrong, one of the best in the country. Ain't no way he'll struggle. You'll struggle. Unless it was truly defined that we were a power eye, like when Russell Wilson went from NC State to Wisconsin. He went under center, power eye, run the ball, play action, the windows open. This is still asking BA to pass, but it's a different type of reads he got to make, different type of timing. Like, you see many a times, yes, Friday, Wicks and BA don't be on the same page. I don't know if it's the way that Wicks is running his routes. I don't know if BA is expecting him to be a spot that he's not in. That's something they got to continue to work out, because, yes, it will work in practice, because there's not a lot of stress in practice. It's practice. Ain't nobody trying to hit BA in the face. So that's why I think a lot of times it's his feet. when B.A. really stands tall in the pocket. No, I'm going to tell y'all this. Next time we play a game, when we play Duke, if you could watch any replay or just pay attention to B.A. in the pocket, if his back foot comes up upon releasing the football, it's going to be an accurate throw. If his back foot stays down and you can see both hips and it's like he's square to the line of scrimmage, it's an arm throw. He's muscling it in. But when B.A. really step up and his back foot come up, it's going to be an accurate, powerful throw. That's when he's at his best. But if he feel like some heat is coming, if B.A. is like has his y'all can't see me, but if B.A. gets the ball from the center and he's just has his shoulder in the middle of the field, right? If he doesn't step to the, like when he steps to the right, if he doesn't drive off that back foot and that back foot come up, it's not going to be a good throw to the outside. So it's times where he's throwing the, he was throwing the ball to Keaton. It was a, what, the fourth and two. It was a tight, twins to the field. They were playing off coverage. And I felt like it could have been a sight adjustment. It's like, I'd have been like, kill. Smoke. That's a check we had to where we see it's fourth and two. It's a tight twins. You got the very inside receiver. He would be the smoke guy. You would say, all right, it's fourth and two. They playing 7 yards off. They're going to try to box coverage us. Throw it to him right now. A quick smoke route. Boom. It's like a pitch. Catch the ball, go right up the field, you get 2 yards. But we ran a sail concept with Keaton, ran the out, and Wicks was the very inside receiver. He ran a corner route, which we call a sail, and B.A. didn't step into it. His hips, his foot got outside the framework of his body, and he threw it on. He just muscled it out there. Now, granted, the corner kind of pulled Keaton's hip, but most of the time they don't call that. A lot of time, I just think, I don't know if the pressure at the beginning of the season has created bad. And I told y'all this, I was worried about this. With Brennan getting hit, is it creating bad mechanics and bad habits? Is his clock getting accelerated to where he's not allowing his receivers to get to their spot because he's, I don't want to say he's fearing, but he's protecting himself from getting hit upon releasing the football. He's human. Nobody wants to keep getting hit in the face. Because it was times where I felt like he could have threw a better ball. Like, again, if we're in the red zone and you got Lavelle Davis, the ball should not be going out of damn bounds. If it's going to be contested, it better drop in bounds. Why are you out of bounds? Why is the ball taking you out of bounds? But I don't know, man. A lot of the deep throws, our receivers just don't have a chance. We ran a deep ball to Wicks on play 18. Wicks gets a very good release. I wish he would have stacked the corner a little bit more. But if he would have stacked the corner, the ball was overthrown. And it sailed basically out of bounds. Like, we got to get our time in there because we can't take vertical shots. We don't have a chance. I did like the vertical you threw to Lavelle. You gave him an opportunity on a pass interference. I feel like anytime you throw the ball to Lavelle Davis, it should be, like, high and short. Just make him plant his feet and elevate. It should not go out of bounds. Matter of fact, all our receivers, even the Wicks could jump. We remember the Georgia Tech game when he mossed two dudes. Like, in a perfect world, again, I'm playing armchair quarterback. I'm not a quarterback. I'm just saying I wish. Because that can lead up to interceptions and stuff, too, depending on where the safety is at. But I think with B.A. struggle, it's just his mechanics, his feet. You got to make sure, no matter what, keep that ball tight to your chest with two hands, climb that pocket, and step into it. When you make a decision, step into it. And I'm not getting hit like he is. So I don't know if that's taking a toll, but I do know one thing, B.A., don't lose your confidence, man. Don't lose your confidence. You can't relive what you did last year. That's history. That's in the past. You can't do it no more. You can't. All you can do is continue to master this scheme, make sure that your fundamentals are always on point. That's what the coach staff asks each and every player. Make sure you are executing your fundamentals is what's asked of you every play. Don't resort back. It reminds me of boxing. This is even better. You know how we see boxers that's known to knock people out, right? They be knocking everybody out. Boo, boo, like Deontay Wilders, the Arturo Gatti's. Boo, boo, just knocking people out. And then they meet their match, right? They finally meet somebody who could box them. And their wide looping punches or the power punches just ain't going to do it for them no more. Like, they reach their plateaued in a sense. And they known as just a slugger. And it's like Rocky III when Clubber Lane beat Rocky, right? Because Rocky was a slugger and Clubber was a guy who could slug too. And you couldn't out-slug Clubber Lane because he was just too strong. And Apollo had to train Rocky Balboa. And Rocky got frustrated in the ring. You know, he was training with Apollo and Apollo was jabbing his face off. And Rocky just felt like he couldn't do it. He just wanted to resort back to push you in the corner, hitting you into your body, getting punched in the face 30,000 times, saying, cut me, Mick. I'm tough. I don't hit him in the body for 12 rounds and they going to collapse. No, sir. Clubber Lane won't going to collapse because he's going to get you up out of there. He's going to punish you. Pain. Because he pitied the fool. But Rocky had to, like, get told by Adrian that he can do it, that Mick was gone. And Rocky had to say he was afraid. He was afraid to fail. And she was like, well, you just got punched in the face and failed. What you scared of? He just knocked your ass out. Excuse my language. Why are you scared? You done went through the storm, the worst of the worst. Believe in yourself. Believe in the technique. Believe in who training you, Rocky. And then you hear the dan da dan da dan da dan 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 da dan da dan da dan, and then him and Apollo running on the beach with the little booty shorts and stuff, and then he dancing in the ring with his little halter top like he was Richard Simmons, and then getting strong now, and he getting light on his feet, and then in the end, all of a sudden, he could beat Apollo Creed and running, and then he get in the fight, with Clubber Lane, right? And Clubber Lane, when they start fighting, and Rock getting the first couple rounds, Rock like, man, I don't like this box stuff. I'm going to punch him in the face. And then what happened in Rocky III? I know I'm getting long-winded. What happened in Rocky III? Rocky realized he could have a marriage between the two. He could be a slugger and a boxer. And that's when he told Clubber Lane, you ain't so bad. Because he realized, yeah, I could get hit in the face, but I could pick and choose when Clubber get hit me in my face. I could sucker him in to a slugging match, and when he starts slugging me again, I'm going to start boxing because I got him coming forward. And then after I done dodged all those punches, now I could utilize my slugging tactics and start hitting him with power shots. So if you look at Rocky III, that second fight, when Apollo was like, what the hell is he doing? And Paulie said, he's getting mad. Yo, Brennan, and yo, Rock, I need you to get mad. Marriage the two. You can still be the Air Raid BA within the confine of the Kitchens and Tony Elliott scheme. You can. It ain't so bad. And I felt like y'all did in the second half. Y'all like that segue? Look at the offense between the first half and the second half. The play calling, definitely. I want to say this about the play calling. I actually liked the plays we ran in the first half, like what we were trying to do to them. We came out throwing screens, trying to get those corners who could cover well to tackle in space. They did a good job of deciphering what was going on with the pre-snap motions, and was throwing quick screens to Keaton, and their safety did a good job with the individualized one-on-one tackles with Keaton, one of the most difficult guys to tackle in space. Even their corner, Sub-Zero and Wilms, they did a good job of tackling in space. You tip your hat to them. But that's what you want. Get the ball out to your playmakers, see if they can make a play one-on-one in space. And then in the second half, we kept doing it, and guess what? Keaton started popping them because they couldn't make those same plays because the game started taking its toll. Then we started running the football, right? Just getting the hat on hat. Not trying to do too much. Don't do too much. Just do your job. Boom, block down, block down. Middle linebacker waiting for Paris on the inside zone. What does Paris do? Up. I know the middle backer is going to be in the gap because our center is tandem blocking. He's trying to get up to the other backer. So this backer steps up in the A gap. I'm going to bounce it to the C gap. Safety's there. What should I do? Practice what I've been taught. Practice my technique. Put my foot in the ground. Get up the field. So even though it looks like he's bottled up, it ends up being a 6-yard gain because he utilized what was taught to him. In the first half, guys are resorting back to, oh, it ain't working. Let me go back to what I know. No, stay the course. Stay the course. Coach Walsh used to do that. We just keep running in the cloud of dust. Keep running in the cloud of dust. Keep running in the cloud of dust. We might punt. Defense, do your job. Boom, they do their job. Offense, get it back. Cloud of dust. Cloud of dust. We might get a first down in the cloud of dust. Cloud of dust. Punt it again. Everybody like, oh, we ain't getting on the offense. Nah. Nah. Keep doing what we plan to do. Keep executing your technique. Because that one time, one of them dudes don't execute their technique on the defense and you where you're supposed to be, boom, you get a big run. That's what happened in the second half. Executed the technique that's being taught to us every single day. Muscle memory. Just keep doing what's asked of you. Doing what's, because here's the thing. As a player, if you do what's asked of you and it don't work, it ain't on you. But if you do what you want to do and it don't work, you getting chewed out. You got to trust in the system. If you trust in the system and it ain't working, then the system got to change. You got to look at the system like system, as in coach. This ain't it, dog. Come on. They ain't got no choice but to be like, you know what? You right. But everybody been saying, get the ball to Keaton. What Coach Kitchen say? You right. So what did he do this game? Get the ball to 9-9. Ran the unbalance in the goal line. One guard. We got six people on the right side. Ready to block. Quick pitch to Keaton. Touchdown. But we just the route combinations are getting better. We still got to execute them better. BA, you, for some reason, you not seeing some disguises. Like one time you threw a speed out to Lavelle and you didn't even see Grant Williams, I think his name is Grant, what, number 8 Williams, just sitting there, heavy outside, rolling up the play cover too. And it should have been picked. You got lucky it wasn't picked. I will say, I feel like your clock is just accelerated a little too much to where you feel like I got to get the ball out because I'm getting hit. And that's why you hit quarterbacks. That's why you get pressure. He's the most pressured quarterback in college football, ladies and gentlemen, by stats. Go look at the numbers. I think he's pressured 45% of the time. Shout out to The Voice, John Freeman. He shared that. Brendan Armstrong is the most pressured quarterback in college football. So when folks say, what's wrong with him? I'm like, well, let's keep it in the context. People in his face, he ain't used to that. He got to get used. Even the great Tom Brady, who people consider the GOAT, what's the one thing they say Tom Brady hate? Pressure in his face. So he just got to continue to improve. He got to always make sure he's ready. Because it's going to be times where it ain't going to be no damn pressure. And if it's not no pressure, you ain't got no excuse to not have good fundamentals and deliver a good ball. That's what I do want to say. You got to keep it 50-50 street, as my man say. Paris ran hard. Mike Hollins ran hard. Overall, offensively, offensive line, you guys play so much better in the second half, man. Y'all play so much better. Y'all continue to fight. You was down 16-0. You opened the drive. We was very complimentary. I don't want to say we was balanced. We played complimentary football. We ran inside zone. We ran some inside counters. We had play action off of the same action. See, that's the one thing I could appreciate about this offense. We got counters off of counters. Like, things look the same, but we run different plays out of the same flow. Look, we might be struggling statistically, but as far as how we set things up, I like it. We showing different looks. We showing you just can't run with Paris because we putting the ball in his belly. We showing you just can't expect B.A. to run the football when he faking it to Perry. Because we faking it, not Perry, Paris. We faking it to Paris and throwing it to Keaton on the outside. So now, what's that going to do? That's going to hold that in to where you might see B.A. fake it to him and then take off. We running quarterback powers out of the same. Man, I saw some great stuff on film for my offense, though. Schematic wise, or just how we set things up, man. Oh my gosh, I wish we could have won that game, man. Because that second half, bro, and coaches learn too. That second half, Coach Kitchens, take that second half game plan, bookmark it, touch up on that. Whatever your mindset was going to the second half, and it could have just been the guys executing better. It could be both. It could be you got more locked in. It could be they got more locked in. But that second half scheme you had them not knowing what to do. Matter of fact, let me look at the numbers right quick, second half wise. Far as how we produce. Because in the first half, second quarter, we had 67 yards of total offense. Then 42 yards of total offense. So in the second half, third quarter, we came out. Had 10 more yards of total offense than we had the previous quarter, but 13 points to show for it. And we had a short field after the turnover. So we drove the ball down the field. Let me see if I could get the play call, the play chart of the third quarter pulled up. So that drive coming out of halftime, no huddle shotgun, 7-yard run. By Paris, then we had that false start. Then we had a pass complete to Grant on the sideline. Then we had the pass to Keaton on a zone looky route where he got the targeting. Then the next play, we had the pass to Keaton completed where Simmons came up and tackled him on the sideline. Then we had a no huddle, incomplete pass. That's when Sub-Zero should have had an interception. Then the next play, we had a pass complete to Paris. He went through his progressions and threw it to the flat to Paris. They was in cover two. Then the next rush on second and six, we had a 7-yard gain by Paris. Then we had a first and 10. B. Armstrong had a quarterback draw for a 4-yard gain. Then he ran the ball again for a 6-yard gain. No huddle to Paris for a 1-yard gain up the middle. Somebody was off sides. And then we had the Keaton Thompson. So that's, what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Really 11. 11 play drive. I think that was 11 play drive for a touchdown. Oh. And we was going for two. To have 12 guys in the huddle, we can't do that. You heard. Like, look, man. You hear the personnel groupings. Like, come on, man. Come on, players. They scream out the personnel groupings all the time. Get out the huddle, man. 10-play, 75-yard drive. That's what it was coming out of the third quarter. And then we had a 2-play, 13-yard touchdown drive after the fumble recovery. So, second half, man. You had 77 yards. In the third quarter, and then the fourth quarter as an offense, we had 101 yards on 19 plays. So we outgained them in the second half. We ran one more play than they did because both teams had 19 plays in the fourth quarter. They had 90 yards. We had 101 yards. We had 77 yards rushing in the fourth quarter. So, we held on to 4 yards rushing in the third quarter. 1 yard rushing in the second quarter. Other than that first drive for their defense, when we ran a stunt. So, I think we ran a stunt and the defensive end to the boundary. I don't want to say their name. But I think he went a gap. He went too far. I think he was supposed to come to the A gap, and he went to the far B gap. I don't know where he was going, and I don't know if they was asking him to loop from his boundary alignment all the way to the front side B gap, then man, that means the D tackle got washed. The D tackle should have came into the week A. But that stunt that we ran on third and 15 allowed their quarterback to just stroll into the end zone, because we was in basically cover one on the back end. Like, everybody was in man. And I felt like if that stunt we ran, if that DN would have went into the A gap and just spied him, he would have got bottled up because everybody was covered. I just think the stunt wasn't executed like it was supposed to be. But other than that, that's the only touchdown they scored. We bowled up in the red zone, bend but don't break. Defensively, I will say this, and what's this, the one where, so I got to do the time set like 104 because I just went right into the defense. But because I ain't really going to talk about the defense that much, so I'll say time set 104 for the defense. But because I still got to go back to the offense, there's one more play I want to talk about. Matter of fact, I'll talk about it right now, and then I do another time set. So I'm not doing a time set for that. See, y'all see, I ain't edited it out because I could have went back and just edited it out. I'm not editing it out. We got to keep going because it's an hour, and I don't want it to be too much longer. Let's get to the last play of the game. The last play of the game, shout out to Who's Rising Facebook group. A gentleman shared a picture, and this happens a lot. So I'm not coming at the gentleman who shared the photo. But this is common. This is a common practice by fans when it comes to somebody being open. We see after the ball is thrown reactions, and then we think somebody's open. So here's what happened. Fourth down, we run a sail concept. We call it smash, right? We call it smash because you're going to high-low the front side corner. Syracuse ran cover two. We're in the tight twins. Keaton runs an arrow route, meaning you run 2 yards and you run out. You might climb as you go. Some people call it just speed out. We call it an arrow. And then the very inside guy runs a sail route, which is the old school way you go corner. But sail, we call it sail because it's a fluid route, meaning you come out high, you could bend down. But if you come out high and somebody's under you, you keep rising up. The quarterback will throw you up the field. So you're sailing, like you're going with the wind in a sense. So I think it was if I'm not mistaken, yeah, it's Lavelle running the sail, which that's what you want. 6'7". Put him on the sail route. We saw, I give you a prime example on why the sail route is tough to stop. That's what ODU ran on a fourth down play to their big tight end, and Sanker was right there and he plucked it out there. They were trips. They ran sail. That's all they ran. On that play, that fourth down play they needed, they ran sail. We came back, we ran it out of twins, though. We didn't run it out of trips. We had two receivers to the side. So we ran the same play. The difference was BA didn't throw it high and away. It was just a bad throw. If I really feel like, and I could be wrong, right? It's a hypothetical. You can be right in your hypothetical. And going to Keaton, going to Lavelle. And I'll get to why I feel like Keaton wasn't open. But your hypothetical would still be true. 6'7", I think it's sub-zero. I think it might have been Grant. I think it was Williams out there. Either way, 6'7", Lavelle Davis has the leverage. Oh, so the safety's on the hash. Lavelle has him beat to the corner. But the safety has a respect the post route because he's responsible for that half. He knows he has corner help to the sail by the defensive back, the corner that's on the outside that's playing short. He's going to play in between. He's going to get to the dead zone area, which is 12 to 14 yards from the line of scrimmage, close to the sideline. That's the aiming point for the sail route if you see cover two. This is where I felt like BA's mechanics came into play because the ball came out short. Even if the linebacker doesn't touch the ball or whoever hit the ball, it would have, like, Lavelle would have had to stop and drop down to catch the ball. It was just not a good throw. I felt like if BA would have really stepped into that throw and put it high and away like you wanted, I'll take my chances with Lavelle having plenty of room to jump up and pluck the ball. Because they hit the call. They ran the perfect coverage for that formation. Now, I will say this. It would have been interesting to see if Wicks could have popped open on the backside dig. If B.A. would have just climbed the pocket a step and checked backside on the backside dig. I want to know which window he would have attacked. Because if you remember correctly, two times we ran a dig to Wicks. One time the linebacker swiped at it as a distraction drill and it hit Wicks in the face. And then the next time it hit the referee. So did that play a role into forcing B.A. to go with the sail arrow concept versus look to the field, look to the field, boom, come backside to the dig? Because you, like, if you identify as cover two, you look into the field and you come to that dig because you want that backer to slide over one window. Now, to what everybody was talking about with Keaton. Keaton wasn't open, in my opinion, because the corner has his hips pointed at an angle to where his hips are open. He could play both. And what that photo showed was the corner reacting to the release of B.A. So when that photo was shared, that's after the fact. I shared a photo before the fact, and you see the corner is playing both of them. But how we are taught as a receiver and how we're taught as a corner, I can give you both perspective. The receiver motto is, even he leaving, it's cover two. It'll be harder for him to react and go back versus plant and drive. So I understand why B.A. took the sail route. Because if you look at the safety in the photo I shared, LaVell has him outflanked. LaVell's 6'7". And his momentum is already going up the field. The corner still has his transition. I just feel like a high throw, high and away, gives you the same results that ODU did with their tight end. Whether it was a touchdown or whether it was the first down when they ran trips and Sanker got a good jump on it. But the dude was what? 6'7", 6'8". It was high and away. So just needed a better throw by B.A. And I don't know if he felt like he couldn't step into it. It was just a bad throw. Just a bad throw. I like the concept. Salute to that. I told y'all guys, I thought their corners would be the best corners we faced all year, and they showed that. Them jokers could cover. Them jokers could cover. And it takes you to be, you know what I'm saying? You got to be on the same page. You got to execute at a high level. All right? So 112-30, let's transition to the defense. Defensively. Here's the one thing I think we need to clean up. Offenses are going to start going trips on us. Oh, not even trips. They can go quads, two by two, two receivers each side. Or just have a slot. It don't matter. All they have to do is show a formation in which they could get, because they know we play five DBs. All they got to do is throw bang eights or slant routes versus us in the slot. That's been unstoppable. Gatson the second was killing us, whether he was running bends, lookies, bang eights, anything that was an inside cut from the slot, he was destroying us, in my opinion, respectfully. Now, we had a couple times where guys were there, but he was making it, he wasn't even running like good routes. He was just running and planting. That's a concern to me. That's the biggest concern for me. Give me some inside zone action, play action, boom. What we used to see Oregon run all the time. Where he used to put the ball in the belly of the running back, pull it, and throw that inside slant to the slot. Hell, we even run it. We just couldn't time it out right. B.A. was throwing it at the knees of Keaton. Put it in their chest. We got it in our book as well, and it could be lethal. I wish we would run that more. It's so lethal because the backers got to step up. And most safeties are playing 10 yards off, head up. Head up to outside. They're not going to play inside because you're running away from them. So if we're going to play head up to outside, we got to really understand we got to collision that outside hip, meaning the upfield shoulder. The upfield shoulder is our aiming point. Pedal, pedal, pedal. You got to activate your feet a little quicker, safeties. Y'all just sitting there flat-footed. Activate your engine. Give me a chop. Or start at 8 and shuffle back a little bit or something, but you got to activate your engine. You can't let them, they're closing your cushion and they're eating up your leverage so easy that is a pat and go route now. Pat and go is what you said at the beginning of the game where quarterbacks be patting the ball and you run a go route and you just throw it up the field because there's no defender. That's what it feels like. We've been getting beat right there, whether it's a corner route or a post route. We're going to have to start running some type of safety mid and helping out. So that to me has to be fixed because the completion rate for that route is probably like 95-85%. Like real talk. Dr. Bob could have ran it all game. For some reason he went away from it. He did what we know what he'll do. Go away. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll say this. We started getting more pressure too. We started putting guys in the window. We were slanting guys like Chico might slant right to that window to where he couldn't get it out as fast as he wanted to too. So I did. Hold on. I was just looking at the play again. Yeah. So we just started running some kudos to the D-line for getting in the windows, getting their hands up too. But that's one thing we gotta patch up because I think that could be dangerous. A lot of teams gonna start seeing that. They really are. All right, so that's all I got to say for the defense, man. Defensively, Coach Rudd said it in the post game presser. They got to make one more play. If y'all remember, I don't know if y'all might not remember, but I caught a lot of heat after the BYU game, right? Because offense put up a lot of points, and we knew it was going to be a shootout. And I was like, as great as the offense did, they still, you know, may have turned the ball over or didn't get a score when we really needed them at this point. So it's not like they were perfect. That's what Coach Rudd basically said about his defense. Like, yeah, we may have held an All-American running back to 60 yards rushing. Yeah, we might have held them to under 300 yards passing. Yeah, they only scored one touchdown. Yeah, they settled for 5 field goals. Yes, we turned them over 4 times and they had no turnovers coming to this game. Yes, we sacked them 6 times. Yes, teams are 15-2 this year when they cause 4 turnovers, and the 2 losses are from UVA. All that is right. But he said, post-game when I interviewed him, we got to get one more stop. But when I said that about our offense last year, people killed me. That's just a competitive way of looking at it. So as bad as our offense played, our defense could have did something to where they could have stopped that initial touchdown and made it a field goal. That's 4 less points. I ain't even talking about the missed field goals. I'm talking about what we could have did defensively. Or one of those stops, we could have not face masked, which I thought was a graze. We could have not face masked on that sack and put them in 4th down. Or we could have got a necessary stop to take them out of field goal range. But the fact that Coach Rudd said, we still got to make one more stop, says all I needed to hear. Because that's the competitive way of looking at it. Yes, y'all may think we played great. Statistically, you can't say nothing about really the defense if we keep it in a stat. Because we did the same thing for the offense. If I get you 450 yards or 500 yards of total offense, what else you want me to do? Remember, we used to always say that about our offense. We did. And when I would be like, well, y'all could at least slow the game down a little bit, run the ball, allow them to get more rest because they just went up against a 12-play drive, or you could not turn the ball over here, or you could do that a little better. People thought I was just being too harsh. But Coach Rudd just practiced the same thing for the defense. Get one more stop. We win. I was like, yo, God day, I ain't by myself. Because sometimes I be thinking I'm on an island. I just be trying to share with y'all the way that competitors really think in football, because it's the ultimate team sport. Yes, you may think, like, you know how receiver, like, yo, you played a great game. And they'll tell you the two or three things they did wrong. They will. The real ones who strive to be great going to tell you the things they damn near did wrong. And you could be like, but you did this. You had two interceptions. You had this. Well, I could have had three. Like when we saw Darius Slay go up against Jefferson, had two interceptions. Hell, he dropped three other ones. Could have had five. That's how you think. I remember I got destroyed. Matter of fact, it was y'all locker room access. Y'all destroyed me last year, man. I ain't like that, man. That was y'all did me dirty right there. Y'all home team. Y'all, like, I was just trying to share with y'all, like, yo, that's, I noticed one thing, man. You can't never, I learned since that day. Even I learned since the Tony Elliott hire. If you're going to play devil's advocate, you have to have a huge disclaimer saying, meet me, devil's advocate. This is not me. This is just me saying, what if you thought like this? Because that's what I did for the BYU game. I was like, yeah, the offense did good. But you could also still say, hey, man, y'all ain't score every time. People took that and pow. Ball Hawk said they should have scored every time. Good God, man. Give us a break. Give us a break. They gave me all these yards. Give us a break. You had a coach that basically just said what I said. It was like, we got to get one more stop. Man, I dapped him up so hard. Like, what? Hell yeah. That's what I like to hear. We got to get one more stop. Why? Because it's the ultimate team sport. We shouldn't have gave up a touchdown then. We shouldn't have gave up one of them additional field goals. Because if we would have got one additional stop, if we would have stopped one of those scoring drives, we win. No matter what the offense did, we win. Point blank, period. I love that mindset, man. But y'all jumped me in locker room, man. Y'all blacked my eye, man. I don't like that, man. I don't like that. Y'all had me like Cuba Gooding Jr. and Boys in the Hood swinging and fighting in the air in front of Neil Long. I don't like that. Y'all did the same thing when it came to Tony Elliott hire, man, on another message board, man. Y'all had it like, oh, Ball Hawk didn't want Tony Elliott. No, I was doing devil advocate. But y'all just listened to a little part of the Twitter space. Y'all listened to the whole thing. But that, I learned from it. Now I say disclaimer, 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 disclaimer. Devil's advocate, again, devil's advocate. Now I understand why mixtape DJs always play their name over and over while a song was playing, so you couldn't just record it and act like you put the mix together. So, yeah, I've learned. So the defense played great. But you can still say, hey, defense, if you stop that opening drive and make them settle for three, now they got a score at the end. Oh, hey, devil's advocate, hey, defense, if you don't get that face mask on that sack, hey, it's probably a different result. Hey, defense, if you just stay, you know, hold the edge versus letting the back bounce, that's all hypotheticals that people can say, that a competitor is going to say, that a teammate is going to say. Why? Because we still got to do our job. We're not going to point at the other side and say, you the reason we lost. We ain't going to do that. We might feel like it, but we still got to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, yo, were you perfect? Hell to the no. Okay, then. But I got killed last year for it. But you live and you learn. On to Duke, man. On to Duke, another road game. We're on two in a row. We're on one in the ACC on the road. And we're playing another FBS team. We are on two versus FBS. Well, ODU consider FBS now. So, y'all get what I'm saying, because y'all don't respect ODU. Duke just lost to Kansas. They, 3-1 now. We 2-2. They having sellouts at their stadium now. So, got to move on. Hopefully, y'all appreciated this recap, man. Sorry it was longer than an hour. But, Brendan Armstrong, yo, B.A., never lose your confidence. Confidence controls how your body reacts to adversity. And if your confidence is shot, you're going to start aiming the football versus throwing the football, and you're going to hurt us more than you think you can help us by focusing in. You got to maintain your confidence, bro. You still that guy. He's still there, but you got to believe it. We can't cheerlead from the sideline. You got to perform, and you can. All right. Good is the enemy of great. Be great in everything that you do. Never let nobody tell you you can't do what you set your mind out to do. Appreciate you listening to the podcast. If you haven't already, please provide feedback on Apple Podcasts, man. It helps with the algorithms, help with the visibility. Shout out to Believe Network, partnering up with me and allowing my podcast to be shared on their big time platform. If you haven't been to Believe.com, that's BLEAV.com. Go there, check out other podcasts that are there. Some big names with some great shows. Check them out. It's the Ball Hawk Show, man. We out of here. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.